one day.
A blessed and wonderful good morning. This is the 22nd day of June. As we continue our conversation as men, the District Men's Fellowship Committee, I am Darren Burke here, and we have Mr. Ryan Matherin along with our August panel. We had to do a part two. There were too many salient points that we needed to hammer home. And by God's grace, we will see what we can do. And obviously, with the situation with our males, we have to let them know that Jesus is indeed the answer for the world today. And above him, there is no other. We want to thank our faithful sponsors. We thank God for Federal Motor Spirits and the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District for their wonderful service of sponsorship during the years. I will start with a word of prayer. Father, bless this program. Every point, everything being said, Lord, let it be laced with the power of the Holy Spirit, dear God, so that someone hearing this, dear God, will be able to be blessed, encouraged, and inspired by what is being said, Lord. Thank you for doing it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Amen. Brother Ryan, take the reins.
Thank you, with some wonderful Darren Burke. And you may hear his voice again if the conversation becomes too animated, because he's one to join our conversations. We have with us again in the studio, we have our brother Adriel Jackman, our brother Joshua. That is such unusual. I keep saying it every time we have to speak it. Joshua Ferdinand. We have our pastor Gershon Ford, and we have our brother Roger Rose. Now, we would have touched on several points previously as relates to the importance of mentoring, as relates to the fact that it's our responsibility as Christian men to mentor. And much was said about the fathering of children, the importance of having certain guidelines and certain safeguards in place as it relates to mentoring our own children. And we would have touched on the importance of mentoring others as well. I want to lay out before a scenario for your consideration. We are seeing increasing numbers of women and females in our churches. We are seeing less as it relates to men. But yet these women have their children, and a lot of them have boys. And many of these relationships are broken, where there's not, and this was mentioned previously, a positive male figure in the home of that child. Now, we would not have touched on the role of the Holy Spirit before, but I want to get into that this morning. Because, let's be honest, you do not need to be in church to be a mentor to a child, or a mentor in general. And we have mentoring taking place at different levels in our society. We're going to go to roads that person may not feel comfortable traveling on. We have drug lords that are mentoring young men. We have persons that are mentoring our boys in different kind of behavior that are not for their good, but they're mentoring them. Where does the Christian man fit in? He may have one son, he may have two, but in his assembly, there are several boys that are there that need that father figure. What was said in our previous program is there has been a pulling away of our men, perhaps, in our assemblies as relates to the mentoring process. And I believe Pastor Gershon would have mentioned the fact that perhaps we've become too selfish, too self-involved in our own lives, that we have not been able to see the responsibility of mentoring those that are not our own blood. Gentlemen, who's going to start debating? Brother Adriel is going up to the steps there. Let's see what he does.
Well, at one point in time, I really didn't consider myself as someone to mentor someone, in the sense that there's so much that I don't know, and there's so much for me to learn myself. And I also have failings in my life, and those failings sometimes make you feel inadequate to properly advise somebody on the right paths in their life when you struggle with yours not all being together in some aspects. So the first thing that I think men have to get over is their insecurities, their feeling of lack, the inability to have their whole life together before they actually impact the lives of other persons. Get over it. You need to be involved. As you get involved, you yourself might get a mentor, somebody that will guide you to get over your stuff as you guide others to get over theirs. Amazingly, about a year ago, a young man came in to pretty much our household, not really living there, but comes every single day. Family member, but not living there, but comes every day. And the amazing thing is, without me even realizing it, I'm technically mentoring him. I'm going into everything from his speech, how he interacts with persons, his decision making. And I am blown away that God put me in that position. It was not something that I had planned. It wasn't something I had on the agenda as a to-do list or anything so. But he needs it. And I realize if he needs it, there's a lot of young men and women that need it. I guess personally, we have to let God guide us where those direct connections with individuals come. But as a society and as a body of Christ, we need a societal position as well. We need not the church, but other things to which persons can get involved in, to which mentoring can exist.
I am going to go around the round table, as it were. I'm going to go to our brother Joshua. Now, brother Adriel would have touched on the area of insecurity and inadequacy as relates to us as men. Brother Joshua, do you feel adequate? Do you feel competent to be the mentor of a young man who is not necessarily your own son? Would you feel that you have the capacity to undertake something like that?
Me personally, I don't feel like it's something that I would go to look for, the urge to go to mentor. I think that is something that it kind of falls upon you, and you only know that you could do it any moment. For example, I went by a friend and his son, little boy, I was just sitting. I'm normally the quiet one amongst the people. I was just sitting down, relaxing, and his son fell, and he just came to me and he showed me his finger, and immediately the father instinct, it kind of kicked in. Yeah, his dad was there, but he was doing something, and he just came to me, and the urge and the want to make sure that he was good, it was not something that I tried to do. It happened naturally. So yes, I do believe that in the situation, I would be able to mentor someone that is not my son or my child. It could be a boy or a girl. My nephew grew up, met him when he was 1 year old, and subconsciously, not knowing, I saw and I've seen in my older age that I was a mentor to him. He ended up going to the same primary school I went to. He ended up going to the same secondary school I went to. He ended up playing cricket. I used to play cricket, and he just kind of fell on me. So yes, I do believe that it is something that I am capable of doing.
Amen. Amen. I want to go around to our Pastor Gershon again. Pastor Gershon, our brother Josh mentioned something very important. Sometimes we are placed in situations where it behooves us to actually take on a responsibility we may not have previously considered. You are someone who has been exposed to mentoring at different levels. My question to you, if we are agree on the point that many of our men within our local assemblies may not feel competent in the area of mentoring, how do we get our men there?
That's a funny question. I'll tell you why. I could respond to this two ways. I could say the very Christian answer and say, let us pray for them to receive the burden of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, that they will be quickened in their spirits and their mortal bodies to do.
Mm.
Which is a good answer as well.
A very good answer.
Very good answer. No one would disagree. I could also say, let us force their hand and call them out on their selfishness. Or I could give the worst answer, which is let them wait until it comes to their doorstep and they are afflicted by it.
Whoa.
And then they will care. The truth is, I think I said this last week, I'll say it again. I think we just don't care enough.
Whoa.
And we will care when it gets close enough. I think that is what is necessary for our men to recognize. Or we are so removed, and I think maybe that might be it. I'd say go find some of these programs in Barbados that work with young men at risk. Go find the Roger Husbands and the ECS. Go find Fabian Sargent and Men's and the Safe Zone. Go find these men. Go find the spaces that they're in prison, in Dodds. Go find them and volunteer half hour of your time to go spend some time. And I think if you spend time with the problem, you will start to see it. I think we are close to the problem, but we've removed ourselves, so we're not afflicted by it. But if you get close enough to the problem, the burden will exist in your heart. Like what Joshua said, he didn't force himself to help the boy. It was natural, because if you are in close enough proximity to the problem, there's a burden that is going to come upon your heart. And if you are a Christian, and if you have the Holy Spirit, then no, we can add for the Holy Spirit to quicken your heart, because it will happen. You cannot be close to a problem and not feel something. You cannot be moved by compassion. You cannot be moved to do. It just is not how God has created us, and it's not what His Holy Spirit is there for. He is there to guide us into all truth. Part of that truth involves we have to do something about our nation's young men. So maybe we need to get a little closer again. We're too far. We're too removed. We're not paying attention to what is happening. And because of that, we are missing all of the young men. But if you get close, I'm telling you, this nation's young men are crying out for somebody to show them the right way. They are crying for somebody to show them the right way. Be just not listening, or be just too far. Get close enough to listen. And I think if we get close enough, if our churches get close enough, if we bring these young men into the church, maybe if we get them there, if the men won't go to them, we bring them to the men, the burden will begin to exist.
Yeah. I want to ask a question very quickly, and Roger, anybody can answer. Is it because of the way how the system is that the society has more or less isolated our men, because I remember talking to my boss recently, a couple months ago, and he mentioned that he went to his son's school or some school or the other and realized that the boys were being ignored. We have a lot of female teachers. I love our female teachers. God bless you all. Our education system is flooded with a lot of female teachers. Are we missing them from the time they are very small? So they've learned to be more or less driven on their own. We drag up the girls. We let them know, well, hey, this is standard to live at. But more or less, we desert the boys. It's just like boys run bold. We don't really believe in them. We don't give them any structure. We ain't really behind them. A few may get it, but the majority don't. Hence what you're saying. So we accustomed being dealt with harshly by angry mothers, by angry school teachers. We don't get this quality mentoring. So you have big baby men still angry, uncertain about life, uncertain about life's purpose. You get what you have? And you can get them in church, far removed from the problem, but they were far removed from the problem from the time they were born. Nobody can ask me, I don't know. Let me go off the soapbox.
Roger's smiling and ready and ready to go. Go ahead, brother.
Before we get there, the whole thing of mentoring, I think within the church, we all are mentored unintentionally. So there are certain things that we pick up, the way things are done. And as men, sometimes we are not given a good example within the church. So if there are youngsters within that assembly and they see us and they watch us, they take on the attitude we have. We are laid back, so they lay back as well. Okay, so as men, as fathers within the society, we need to be intentional in what we do. The question was posed of the whole mentoring of our boys by females, because that's what it is, or the lack thereof. We're within our school system. There are a lot of females teaching our boys. And one of the big problems we have is that ladies do not like to see the boys run a boat and come in hot and sweaty. But that is something that we do. When I was at school, I played football and we had football, and at lunchtime we played football or cricket and went back in. But that is what we did.
Brother Roger, before you get hot and sweaty in the studio, I want to piggyback on something you said that I think is really crucial. I want to ask a question here. Does mentoring begin and end within that 3-hour service on Sundays?
It shouldn't. But the way things are structured, if you're looking at individuals mentoring, there is a mentoring that is going on within the church. However, you want the mentoring of an individual, they have somebody else as well that is out there that they look up to or encourage them to do other things as well. So it might not be one person mentoring, but outside of the church as well, there is that whole thing of mentoring. But if you're talking about generally mentoring within church, if you're going to mentor, it cannot only be at church. It has to be a holistic thing. I believe last week when I spoke that when we speak about Christ and his mentoring, his discipling, he took those men with him. They saw his life. And that is what people need to do. I can remember years ago, there was a pastor. I don't remember his name right now. But he would take on a number of people and mentor them. And they would come and they would go with him. They came to his home. When he was going out, they went with him. So they looked at his life and they understood, well, this is how you're supposed to live. And they saw the warts and all. So they saw the good things, but they saw the warts, some of the bad things that he needed to work on. We're not perfect, but you are open enough to say, look, I have a challenge with X or Y, which would bring into what his brother was saying, you got to forgive me, your name.
Joshua.
What he was saying, you know, feeling inadequate and so on. But when it hits you, you know, and you're in the situation, you begin to perform because you know enough that you can teach somebody or show somebody. And if you don't even know, you are in a position that you can get to know.
There is something that was said here, and we have said it previously, but I want to bring it back in at this point. The example we have of Jesus Christ and his mentoring. And we're going down to this point because our time is going quickly as well. And I want Adriel to address this. What Brother Roger would have said is perfectly valid. The mentoring process goes outside of the walls of the church. But what Pastor Gershon said is also quite valid. There seems to be a spirit of selfishness. Now, I'm going to use an example here for you, Adriel, and I want you to just give me your feedback on it. A young man was mentoring some young children, both male and females. Another senior man would have seen this young man mentoring these young men. And the senior man would have said to this young man, I really admire what you were doing. And the young man would have said to the senior man, but we need help in terms of other persons to assist us. And the senior man would have said, I would love to, but I'm really busy. The conversation would have taken place between two believers or two Christian men. Is that a scenario that you think is being multiplied across our churches where men perhaps believe they're too busy to be mentors because of their own other commitments?
Well, I believe that that is probably the truth. The person is extremely busy. All of us have a lot of things going on. I have a lot of things going on. I think that isn't the actual problem, even though it might be the excuse used. But if I had to solve a problem, I would not start at that point. I would start at the point of where two or three are gathered together, start the conversation to solve the problem. Bring whoever is willing together first, start to discuss the problem in length and actually work out actionable things that you can attempt to do to solve the problem. If some aspects don't work, come back, rethink and go again. Start with who is willing. Mm-hmm. If you aim for who is not willing, then you're never going to start. Start with who you have that is willing first. Sit down, brainstorm, execute, test, in workout, come back, go again. Keep going until, and as you get success, you will learn how to rope in other persons in the process. Like, I could have 10 ideas, none of them might work, but that doesn't mean you stop. That don't mean you don't try something else. That don't mean you don't have the discussion. That don't mean you don't hear from the young and the old and start to work it out. I think it really starts with having the discussion, having the talk, having the evaluation, testing. You understand? Until you get something that works in the society that we live in now. You can't think of only the past. The past is in the past and it ain't coming back. We have a different society now. We have to work with what we have now. Start with who is willing.
Amen. I'm going to go to Joshua because I said we're going around the round table. Joshua, you mentioned previously this was something that I picked up from what you were saying, that you were basically placed in a position to mentor. You were placed in a position to mentor someone that was not necessarily of your family. Would you say now, I know you're a member of the Comrade Nazarene Church, would you say now that even if you're not fully equipped, that as you go along in your Christian walk, that you're being equipped to be a mentor?
Sure, answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Again, for me, the definition, again, of a mentor, using my knowledge, my experience could be bad, it could be a good experience, but all two, I think, can be used to help mentor. Mm-hmm. Because for us, as parents, we don't want our children to have the same despair that we would have been going through as we were growing up. But I think the challenge comes between mentoring and the influences that are outside. Because with the mentoring, we are here, we are in person. The outside influences, we have social media, we have people, again, on the block sitting down. Those are even school. The friends at school, again, going back to what Brother Adria would have said in the last session, about the importance of the school and the church. Yes, there's an importance for both, but at the same time, they can be, I think, detrimental in a way because they spend most of their time at school. Mm-hmm. And with the society that we're in now, the day and age that we're in now, it has become much more difficult to be a successful mentor just because of the influences that are outside of that.
Wonderful. We're going on to the last minutes of our program, so this is going to be open to both Brother Roger as well as Pastor Gershon. Since we are speaking from the perspective of the denomination of the Nazarene Church, would you say that, and I want to tie this back to what Brother Adrian would have said previously, would you say that we are doing enough to mentor or to empower our men to be mentors? We know that, as Adrian would have said, we may not get everyone on board, but those who are willing. Are enough men willing, and those that are not willing, are they being encouraged to do so in a way that makes sense? Either Brother Roger or Pastor Gershon, whoever wishes to take up that particular response. Both men are scrambling for the microphone.
I don't think as a church that we are intentional. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have not really been mentored within the church. I grew up in the Church of the Nazarene. And there came a time when I said coming to church on Sunday morning is not enough. I needed more. Mm-hmm. And there were people on the outside of the church that I knew. There was a particular guy that he was doing teaching. He invited me, he invited a number of other young persons to come, and he taught us scripture. You know, he went out and he did a few classes to get to know about scripture and what God is saying and to get a bit more. But I think something like that within each congregation should have something of a systematic mentoring program so that people that have not been mentored get to understand what mentoring is all about. Sometimes people fear what they don't know. So in order to come to a place of knowing is that you, I had a friend of mine, he always used to say, he tell you, get somebody that knows more than you and hook on to them. But also get somebody that knows less than you and pull them along. And I think that is something that as a church, I think that is something that we need to put in our programming. And I believe that is the direction that we are going because the whole emphasis right now is on discipleship, discipleship. And discipleship is basically mentoring.
Amen. Go ahead, Joshua.
I just want to add one more thing on the importance of our nonverbals in terms of mentoring. Leading by example in terms of not just speaking, but the way that we move and the things that we do. Because what we see is what we mainly pick up and what we do. So I just want to reiterate the importance of not just speaking, but how our actions can influence and be that mentoring medium in terms of getting the message across to the young people.
Well said. Pastor Gershon, we'll ask you to make the final comment and then dismiss us in a word of prayer as well when we finish.
The final comment. I hope that this conversation has lit a fire in some of us. There's a great need for mentorship. I know it's very easy in society and in church, quite frankly, to get hooked on buzzwords and start throwing them around every time is mentorship, is discipleship, and we just call in the word and, you know, we're putting it on the screen every week and we, But what really is necessary for us to get this right is you. You are necessary for us to get this right. We will figure out the programs, we will figure out all the necessary trainings and everything, but what is going to be necessary is you. Oftentimes we want to mentor people. I'll say this to everybody as I close, that don't get into this if you only want to mentor the people that are at the stage of life that you want them to be at. You don't get to choose which types of people you are going to walk with. When you decide to walk with a person, you are deciding to walk with them regardless of where they are. You are starting with them wherever they are, and you are walking them to who God wants them to be. It is as simple as that. And if you are a child of God and you have read your Bible at least once and actually read it, like look at what the words mean, you know that this is what God has commanded you to do. This is a go and make disciples of all nations mandate. We don't get exempted from it. It is not for the pastors or the evangelists or the NMI or any department. It is for every single individual who has been so wondrously saved from sin. This is the Great Commission. And so I pray that we will understand that when the day of judgment comes, we will all have to give an account to God of why we failed or we excelled at achieving the Great Commission that He has given to all of us. Father, You have spoken, and we thank You that You have spoken. We do not need many words. We only need to plant a seed in the hearts of men. And so, Father, as we have planted by Your Spirit, now give an increase to Your honor and glory. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.